Good morning. Happy 4th of July, everybody. On behalf of Staff Parish and the entire membership, I'd like to welcome our new pastor, Rob Herman. We're so happy to have him here. We're so blessed. We are much gratitude for him taking us on. And he's already been to Rohnert Park this morning, so it's wonderful to have you. And how wonderful it is on July the 4th, our first Sunday together, when we celebrate our country and our freedom of religion. So, Rob, I turn this over to you.
Thank you. Good morning. You know, when I was in seminary, I did my field education with the San Francisco Night Ministry. And one of the things they made me do was preach a sermon, because they do a what they called open cathedral. And they would do a church service on Thursday nights by the 16th and Mission BART station. You know, that's right in the middle of the Mission District. And they made me preach more than once. And after I did the second one, I was like, I will never preach on the street again. And here I am. Anyway, welcome. Thank you all for being here. I don't want to forget to thank you. I stopped by the office on, what day was I here? Thursday. And I went into the office and Olivette showed me a basket full of food and things. And there's nothing makes me feel more welcome than food, everyone. But, and the basket was beautiful and most of it is gone now. There was a salami in there. So thrilled to see that salami. Let's join together in our call to worship. If you have a bulletin, well, you should have bulletins in front of you. The plain text is for me, that's me, and you all, where it says all is the bold text, that's where you respond. We have come to worship God, the living God. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God. We have come to worship God, all gracious God. Amen. Sisters and brothers, beloved siblings, the truth is that we all have something we need to confess. Each one of us is carrying the pain, the burden, and the sorrow of our mistakes and our misdeeds. Each one of us is in deep need of God's forgiveness and amazing grace. So let us go, you and I, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us give our burdens and our struggles to the one who can hold it all, our sovereign God. Come, let us pray.
Holy God, our hearts open before you in prayer on this day. Our spirits reach for you in wonder on this day. And on this day, Lord, we come humbly to confess our many sins and errors. You know, blessed love, that we are far from perfect. You know, Holy Spirit, that we are wounded and hurting. And in the light of your knowing, we come to confess it all. Loving God, we have done and said things that hurt and wound. We have hardened our hearts so that we can ignore the plight of the poor. We have, in all honesty, God, not been the church you call us to be. Have mercy on us, we pray. Forgive us for our own narrow wants and desires, and open our hearts to the needs of all people. Help us, we pray, to see that when anyone suffers, we all suffer. Teach us how to risk great things for your magnificent purpose. And in it all, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Hear our prayer, we beseech you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to invite you to a few moments of silence to consider your own personal confessions. Hear this good news. God's love abounds for everyone. Come now and receive the gift of this limitless love. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
I'm reading from Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "O sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Jeremiah is an interesting prophet. Most of the Old Testament prophets, you don't really hear too much about their personal lives. But Jeremiah, there's a lot in, not a lot, but there's more than in the other prophets. You hear about his story, his family. His family was actually of the priestly branch of the ancient Hebrew hierarchical structure. You know, the way it worked with the tribes, right? The Levites were the priestly class. So Jeremiah was of a priestly family. But when David came to the kingship, for whatever reason, Jeremiah's family was kind of removed from their priestly duties. And I think they held a bit of a grudge against David and his line, and especially Solomon, who followed him. Solomon kind of instituted a lot of David's ideas. And so there was some, I don't want to say animosity, that sounds too strong, but a little bit of resentment. Resentment's a good word. Resentment towards I like to walk around a little. So there was some resentment towards the priestly Solomon and his David and Solomon and their line. So that's what Jeremiah was growing up in this family that had some real issues with the way that society, their society, was around them, some judgments and resentment. And I can't help but think that, you know, that kind of stuff rubs off on you when you're growing up. So I think when Jeremiah is called by God, maybe Jeremiah is in a place of, you know, some personal shame. Because if the family is judging them, they're judging others too. Judgment is deep in people, and it spreads around, and it extends to everyone. So I think Jeremiah might have been aware of some of that. So when God says, "I want you to go and speak for me," Jeremiah's first response is, "Oh no, not me. I can't speak. I'm just a boy." But God's response is gracious. And it's you can read it different ways. God can be scolding Jeremiah and saying, "Don't say you're just a boy." Or you can read it as a kindly, compassionate, "Don't say you're just a boy." So this passage speaks to me. I grew up in New York City, Staten Island, New York City. And my father was a policeman, and we weren't close growing up. And I always felt like I wasn't the son that he wanted. We didn't have a lot in common. My father liked cars and, you know, fixing engines. I know a car when I see one. That's about it. My father liked to hunt and go out into the wilderness. At one point when I was pretty young, I think he was making an effort to build our connection, our relationship. And he took me to movies every now and then, just he and I. And the movies he took me to were always wilderness-based. This was big in the 70s, right? Remember Grizzly Adams, The Wilderness Family, the Little House on the Prairie? All that kind of, you know, another time in a different place, simpler times. My father loved that stuff. I wasn't really all that into it. I was more geared towards, I don't know, comedies. I like to laugh. I like to make jokes. I was a big Carol Burnett fan. So he was trying, but he was, I think, I felt like he was trying to mold me to be like him. This is what I like. This is what you should like. And the way I read it as a child was, he doesn't like me the way I am. I'm not the son he wants. He's not proud of me. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he doesn't love me. So years later, I carry this for a long time. Years later, I did a training program at St. Francis Hospital in San Francisco. CPE, it's called. Clinical Pastoral Education. And it's a year-long residency in the hospital as a chaplain. So in addition to visiting patients and being their chaplain, there's a big part where you are with your colleagues who are also going through this program, and you learn about each other, right? You talk about the stuff that you're going through. You're reading books. And the idea is to get to really know yourself, know what your triggers are, know where you're willing to go or not willing to go, what your boundaries are. Because if you're sitting with somebody who's deeply feeling something, you can only go with them to that place if you're aware of how deep you can go and what you can do. I can only go as deep with you as I can go with myself. So the idea of CPE is to get you to this point where you can go with them where they need you to go. Does that make sense? You follow? Okay. So one of the things we did in this process was read this book called Retelling Our Stories. And in it, the author says, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but one of the things he says, when you're a child and you're in a situation that you don't really understand, you create a story for yourself to make sense of it. That's what I did with my father. I created this story in my head. He doesn't love me because I'm not the son that he wanted. We don't have a lot in common, so he doesn't love me. That was my child's eye view, and that's what I carried for a long time. What this book says is, as an adult, you can look back on that situation, and from, you know, an outside view, as an adult, you can retell that story and recreate it. So that's some of the work that I did in this CPE program, is to look at my relationship with my father. My younger brother and my father had a really close relationship. And they would spend a lot of time together, and they would do a lot of things together. They both liked to work on cars, right? All these things that I was just telling you about. And after my father passed away, when we used to go to Thanksgiving dinners at my sister's mother-in-law's house, my brother, after having a couple drinks and, you know, pretty lubricated, would start to tell these nostalgic stories about my father, the times that he spent with him. All great stories, and I love to hear them because that's a great story. That guy sounds great. I wish I had known him, you know? So I started to think back on my relationship with my father and the different stories, and one day it just hit me. I have that story. That story that contradicts everything else. And here it is. One evening, after dinner, we were sitting at the dining room table, my mother, my father, and me. And suddenly my father takes out a box of Dominoes. Not this box, but a box of Dominoes. And he teaches me how to play. And he says, in the course of playing, you know, I bought these when you were born for you. And my reaction was, why? Why would you buy Dominoes for a baby? You know, they're hardwood. It said it right on the box, hardwood Dominoes. Who buys hardwood for a baby? And he said, because I was anticipating today. Before I was born, or very shortly after I was born, my father, looking forward to spending time, he and I, sharing something together. And it has changed my whole view of my father. I no longer think of him as, you know, just somebody I grew up with who I didn't have anything in common with. This was a guy who loved me and thought about me long before I came about and wanted to spend time with me. And as that door opens, other doors open. And I'm much more gracious and loving towards him now. I can even call him dad when I tell the story. There was a long time when I would only talk about my father, my father, my father. I can say my dad now. It's changed, right? You retell that story, you change that story, and your outlook changes. So here we are on my first Sunday, joining you in ministry here in Petaluma. I'm going to make mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. You could call Lake Park, they'll tell you. But don't. I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. I'm going to make more mistakes. You're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do things that irritate each other or we don't understand. And I'm inviting you into this space where we can be gracious to each other. And if you get mad at me, tell me. Don't go complain to that person over there or that person. Come and tell me what I did, and I can explain maybe why I did it, and we can get an understanding, and that door to grace opens. And then as we build that grace and that comfort with each other to be able to say to each other what we did and why we didn't like it, we can grow, and that love and understanding and grace grows out into the world, and we share that with others. And that's how we bring about the kingdom. That's what we're called to do. So that's my invitation to you on this first Sunday of our ministry together. I don't want to say my ministry. This is our ministry. We're in this together, and we're only as good, and we're only as strong, and we're only as loving as we can be strong and loving and gracious to each other. Amen? Thank you. Oh, so in this basket, there's a bunch of dominoes. They're not the dominoes that my father got me, but they're dominoes. And I invite you, when you come up for communion, to take one. Put it in your pocket, put it in your bag or your backpack, and just keep it as a reminder of the grace and the love that we share for each other, and to remember to practice and grow with that. The Lord's Prayer. Charlotte, will you lead us in the Lord's Prayer? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Open your hearts to the one who is love. We open our hearts to you, O God. Let us give thanks to God who gathers us together. To the one who welcomes us to the table, we give thanks and praise. I should just take a second to, I'm using a liturgy from enfleshed.com. You'll recognize the pattern, but the wording is a little different, but just so you know. God, your invitation to come and feast in your presence is but a taste of the love you extend to us every day. By your nature, you are always seeking us out, searching for ways to connect us and connect with us. You meet us in the most ordinary of places, and you make them sacred. By your grace, we come to recognize the holiness that dwells in the world around us, in our neighbors, and in our own internal depths. Therefore, we join our voices with your people on earth and the company of the heavens, singing praise to you. Holy, holy, holy one, God of justice and love, heaven and earth are full of your wonder. Hosanna among us. Blessed are you, and blessed is your eternal table. You welcome all who thirst for justice and hunger to grow in love. You ask us to extend this same welcome to all of our neighbors, but God, since our beginning, we have struggled. And so, in your love for us, you took on flesh in Jesus. Through his life, you pointed to your presence on the margins. You revealed the sacredness in all life. You showed us how to live together, even among forces of destruction. Believing it could transform the world, Jesus proclaimed the good news. He called for the captives to be set free. He spoke of the lowly being lifted up. He talked of redistributing wealth and eradicating the causes of poverty. His commitment to practicing love knew no bounds, not even to the bounds of death. On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his companions. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, blessed it, and shared it, saying, "This cup is poured out, is the new covenant. In remembrance of all you have done to save us, we proclaim the mystery of your faith. Christ was birthed among us. Christ was killed among us. Christ rises again among us." Pour out your spirit on these gifts, O God. Make these ordinary elements into the sacred gift of your presence with us once again. May they awaken us anew to your everlasting invitation into a life of resurrection. Aliven us in our pursuit of a world where all needs are met, power is balanced, and the worth of every creature and creation is celebrated. Beloved siblings, this is the bread of heaven and the cup of forgiveness given for you. Now, Charlotte tells me you already have your elements, right? The feast, the table is ready, the feast is open. Let us pray. God, by the bread of heaven and the cup of life, you make us one body. Bind us together by your spirit that we might live into your hopes for us, a community centered in Christ and rich in compassion, commitment, courage, and care. May it be so.
God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that blesses others through the sharing of our love, our talents, and our material possessions. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive our morning offering. Pray with me. Holy God, we dedicate these gifts to the building of your kingdom so that the world of love and grace may emerge in this time and place. Bless us in the use of these resources and call us to be the agents of hope in a world that needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so, beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.